And good morning, everyone. It is great to be with you, and welcome, especially if you're visiting with us today. Welcome. I know we have a lot of people that are here visiting with family and friends, and it's great to have all of you out with us. A happy Easter. A happy Easter. There we go. Or Resurrection Sunday, if you prefer that. It is great to be able to come together and to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, not only today, but every day of our lives, and in a special way today to think about his resurrection. We are going to, I believe, after service for the children, there's an Easter egg hunt, and we'll get more information about that at the end of this service. I heard about a church one time that decided they wanted to be very extravagant in their Easter egg hunting, and so they decided to rent a helicopter, get all the kids out in a field, and drop the eggs from the helicopter. And after the first two or three fell, all the parents realized this is a horrible idea. As Easter eggs were raining on their children. We will not be doing that today, okay? We're going to set them on the ground, and you'll search from the ground up for the Easter eggs today. But, you know, Easter means different things to different people. When I was growing up, I grew up in a very conservative church in which basically they said that Easter is just like every other Sunday of the year, and therefore we shouldn't celebrate it. But my grandparents always made sure that we got at least one chocolate Easter bunny to enjoy throughout the day. And I always wanted the solid ones instead of the hollow ones, if you know what I mean. And so I got to look forward to that every Easter Sunday because of especially my grandmother. Her name, we called her Mama Rita, because Mama Rita got us a chocolate Easter bunny. But Easter, for some of us, it probably reminds us of the spring of the year, which is fantastic. It's great to have seasons that follow seasons. And I know one of my favorite seasons is, especially living up here in the Northeast, is springtime, where you see the flowers blooming and the trees budding and the green grass growing and the temperature starting to rise a bit, the days getting longer. Those are always really good things for me and help me with my attitude and my disposition, and just to realize winter is behind us and spring is here, and that's a really good thing. I know for some of us, Easter might mean a spring break, because that happens usually for the kids. And so you got spring break around this time of the year for many of the teachers and the children. And also for many people, I know that Easter means family. It means getting together with your families, having an Easter lunch or dinner together, and enjoying time together as family. And so Easter can mean a number of different things, but what we want to focus on in the lesson today is Easter being a reminder to us of the resurrection of Jesus, and that the resurrection of Jesus should be something that we remember every day of our lives, because the resurrection changed everything. I mean, everything is different because of the resurrection of Jesus. Sometimes we think about the birth of Jesus, especially around Christmas time, we think about his birth. And then we sometimes think about his death, usually even as Phil centered our mind. On Sundays when we have our communion together, we think about the death of Jesus. And also on Good Friday, just this past Friday, we think about the death of Jesus. But here's the thing. Without the resurrection, the birth and the death of Jesus would not have meant very much. And those are my words. Those are the words of the Apostle Paul. That of the events that happened, not only in the life of Jesus, but the events that have happened in the history of humanity, there's not been a greater event than the resurrection of Jesus. Because the resurrection proved that the birth of Jesus was born as the Messiah and the Savior of the world. The resurrection proved that Jesus just didn't die on the cross as a death and then stay dead. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins and gives us a chance at new life. And the resurrection is the greatest event in the history of humanity. Therefore, we ought to think about the resurrection, not just on Easter Sunday, but really every day of our lives. And I want us to focus on one scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from the Apostle Paul, And I want to make 3 points from that scripture. Paul makes at least 6 or 7 from this passage. But I want us to talk about how Easter and the resurrection changes our past, changes our present, and changes our future. That's what the resurrection of Jesus does for us. And so, if you want to turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, I would encourage you at some point today, spend some time reading scriptures about the resurrection. Read from Matthew chapter 28. Read from Mark chapter 16, but also read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And to spend some time focusing and meditating on the resurrection of Jesus. John Irving, an American writer, said, "I find that the Holy Week is draining." And by Holy Week, he means this week leading up to Easter, in which Jesus suffered very much and ultimately was crucified on Friday. Said it's draining. No matter how many times I've lived through his crucifixion, my anxiety about his resurrection is undiminished. I am terrified that this year it won't happen, that year it didn't happen. Anyone can be sentimental about the nativity. Any fool can feel like a Christian at Christmas. But Easter is the main event. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you're not a believer. Well, those are really serious words from just an American novelist. But I think he gets it right. Easter is the main event. Easter is the game changer for all of us in our lives. And then Philip Yancey, a Christian author, has written, this is in The Jesus I Never Knew, which is an amazing book about Jesus. If you want to read a really good book just about the life of Jesus, The Jesus I Never Knew, I would recommend that to you. Philip Yancey writes that Jesus succeeded in changing a snuffling band of unreliable followers into fearless evangelists, that 11 men who had deserted him at death now went to martyrs' graves, avowing their faith in a resurrected Christ, that these few witnesses managed to set loose a force that would overcome violent opposition first in Jerusalem and then in Rome. This remarkable sequence of transformation offers the most convincing evidence for the resurrection. What else explains the whiplash change in men known for cowardice and instability? See, the resurrection changed the disciples of Jesus, and the resurrection can change all of us as well. This Resurrection Sunday is an important day for all of us. So I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 12. But before I do that, let's go to God in prayer. Let's offer him this sermon. Let's offer him this day. I also want to pray because many of you might have heard that there were bombings in Sri Lanka today. And some of those bombings were targeted churches as people were coming together for Easter Sunday. And so I know that's a somber way to begin a lesson. I know it's a little scary way to begin a lesson as we are gathered here for Easter Sunday. But let's remember that following Jesus should come with a price, should come with a cost. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you so much for Resurrection Sunday. I thank you that Jesus not only died for our sins, but he rose from the dead. And because he rose, he changes our past, our present, and our future. And Father, I pray right now for those that are grieving in Sri Lanka. I pray that you will heal the hearts of people there. And I pray, Father, that some way peace might reign on the earth. We love you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 12. You guys with me? Yeah. All right, here we go. Verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection from the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. We have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will come. And when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Paul speaks of the resurrection here, really in the whole chapter. He's focusing on the resurrection of Jesus. And in this little section right here, he makes at least six comments about the resurrection that we could talk about today. But I know that we're all interested in getting to our Easter lunch, so I won't talk about all six of them today. I'll focus on three, and we will go through them very quickly. It's the past, the present, and the future. The resurrection changes all of this for all of us. First, the past. Because Jesus rose from the dead, our past sins are forgiven. The past is forgiven, and God forgets, and God helps us to move on with our lives. And that's the great story of the resurrection of Jesus. In verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, if he has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But that's a conditional clause there. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, you're still in your sins. But he did rise. And because he rose, we can have our sins taken care of. Because he rose, we can have forgiveness. Because he rose, we are forgiven people. And we can look at our past differently. We can look at our past and realize that is just the past. But today is a new day for us. That is just the past. And our future has yet to be written. That is just the past. And I will live no longer in the past. That is just the past. So as God puts things behind us, I will put things behind me as well, because that is just the past. And we need to have that idea. We need to have that. We need to embrace that reality if we are disciples of Jesus, that we don't have to live in the past. We don't have to be the same old all over again. We can be new. We can be different. We can have lives in which there's a trajectory that goes up, up, up because of Christ, because of God, because of the Spirit, because of the resurrection. But that happens because of the resurrection. Because Jesus died for us, we can have our sins forgiven. And our past can be forgiven and forgotten and put behind us so that each day is new. Do you have that reality in your life? It's a beautiful thing to be able to wake up every morning and realize I have a new day today. Because the past is now behind me. Because the past is gone. Do you have that reality in your own life? See, as disciples, we should. What do you love to write with? Do you love to write with pencil or pen or just type on things? Because they're all different. You know, when I grew up, I started with a pencil. And that's how I was taught in elementary school. The big old fat pencil, not like this one, but a big old fat pencil. And a big old fat pencil because there was also a big old fat eraser on the end of that pencil. And as you're learning to write, you need that eraser quite often. And so you make mistakes and you just flip it over and you start erasing. And you can erase and then you can start over again. And that's the beauty of a pencil. But then there's the pen. And I know they have erasable pens, but let's just forget that right now because it spoils my illustration. But they also have permanent pens, like Sharpies. And when you write with a pen, it's harder to erase that. It's harder to get that, to make it gone. When you write with a pen, you have to be careful. You have to guard every dot, every crossing of the T, because you know it's going to be there a while. And then, of course, there are great devices like my phone, which basically has a word processor in it. And because I write a lot, I really like to write on a word processor, because that way, if you want to just delete a whole paragraph, it's like boop, boop, bop, you know? Mark here, hit delete, it's gone. And you can actually just erase a whole paragraph. You can delete a whole document with basically two punches. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing that we have this technology at our fingertips today. But when I was a kid, it was pencil and pen, and that's it. That's how I grew up. And I realized that there's a big difference between the two of these things. One of them you can erase and you can start over. The other is more permanent. And what is your view of sin in your life? Do you have a view of sin in your life where you can't erase it, where it's permanent, where it's just going to be there? Or do you have a view of sin in your life because of the resurrection of Jesus, your sins are forgiven, your past is behind you, and you can live a new life every day? You know, I prefer to write with pencil today. When I do my journaling and that sort of thing, this is my favorite instrument right here. And the reason I like it is because I can erase my mistakes. But when I sign a document, or a check, I use ink because it's permanent. And I don't want somebody else just to erase it. In your mind, when you look at sin and you look at your past life, what are you using? Pen or pencil? And I think for all of us, what we need to do is we need to accept the reality as Christians, as people that are following Jesus, that because of the resurrection, we can have a new life. And that's a beautiful thing, that we don't have to live in the past and just keep hammering out the past time and time and time again. Chris Tomlin has written these words. He says, "My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, He ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace." Because of the amazing grace of Jesus, our chains are gone. We've been set free. We don't have to dwell in the past any longer. We can be forgiven. And that's because of the resurrection of Jesus. Number two, the resurrection changes our present. Yes, the resurrection changes our past, and because our past has changed, our present is very different. In our present, faith is true. In our present, faith is real. In verse 17, 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile." Your faith is pointless. Your faith is worthless. But that, again, that's a conditional clause. Because Christ rose from the dead, our faith is reality. Our faith is powerful. Our faith helps us to live out every day to its fullest. Our faith makes today a great day in the Lord. Do you believe that? Do you believe that your present is different because of the resurrection of Jesus? See, the resurrection should give us confidence in the present, that we can live out a faithful life in Christ Jesus, that what we believe, what we preach, what we teach, what we live, that it is real because of the resurrection of Jesus. Because Jesus rose from the dead, all of His claims about what He's going to do for us in our lives, all of that is real. All of this is because of the resurrection of Jesus. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can count on Him. We can count on Him to be with us in the here and now. We can count on Him to be with us in the present time. Because Jesus is with us, He walks with us. He's there beside us. He leads us down the path. His Holy Spirit is with us to guide us, to comfort us, to help us in times of need. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are realities in our life every single day. Because of the resurrection, what we face today, we can face with confidence. Because of the resurrection, nothing should be impossible for us in our lives. Not because of our power and our greatness, because God is so great. And God is so powerful. And if Jesus came back from the dead, which he did, then anything can happen in life because of the resurrection. Do we believe that in our everyday walk with God? Do you believe that your life can change because of Jesus? Do you believe that you can be a different person because of his power and his resurrection? Do you believe that your marriage can change, that your marriage can be great, that you can be deeply in love with your spouse? Do you believe that? Do you believe that as you go to work and you face whatever is going on in work, that you can overcome, that you can be a different person, that you don't have to be like everybody else at the workplace? You don't have to be like everybody else around you. Do you believe that? That God, with his power, can help us to be different in our lives. God, with his power, and because of the resurrection, can help us to overcome addictions in our lives. Whether the addiction is to drug, or to alcohol, or to pornography, whatever the addiction might be. To gambling, there are all kinds of addictions. But we don't have to be chained to those addictions. Not because of our power, and our might, and our greatness, but because of God. And what God does for us in our lives because of the resurrection. See, because of the resurrection, your present can be different. Because of the resurrection, you can live a life that is a faith-filled life, a life that is truly blessed, a life that is consistent, a life in which you are a spiritual person. But in order to do that, we have to appreciate the resurrection. Because we have to recognize, yes, God has forgiven our sins, but what am I going to do today? Am I going to be different because of the resurrection? Do I appreciate the death of Jesus and his resurrection to the point that I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to walk with Jesus today? I am going to be a spiritual person. Sometimes what happens is we recognize the fact of the crucifixion, we recognize the fact of the resurrection, but then we don't try living with Jesus. We just simply go back to our old ways. And then we're like, well, why is the addiction still causing chains in my life? It's because you're not walking with Jesus every day. Yes, your sins are gone and forgotten, but they'll come right back into your life if you don't make strong spiritual decisions to live in the present with Jesus, to live today with Jesus. And that's something that you have to do. Every day can be new in Christ. But you know what? You can keep going back to the old ways if you don't make strong decisions to follow Jesus in your life. So we should, every morning, wake up, say, this is a new day that God has given me. I'm going to live today for God. I know I love the psalmist, when the psalmist says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And there are a lot of mornings I just start off that way. God, thank you for today. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in today. And then I get into my Bible and I get into my prayer time and I get into my journaling and I try to just set the day with a mindset to follow God and to appreciate the resurrection and to be a spiritual person that day. I don't try to do it too far in advance, just today. Give me today. Give me victories today. And you know what? If you get a victory today, then you can also get a victory tomorrow. And then you can get a victory on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And before you know it, you've had a whole week of victories. And you feel really strong in the Lord. But it starts with today. Today, I'm going to be different in my life. I had the opportunity to have lunch with a good friend of mine recently. We were at a conference together, a teacher's conference together. And teaching in the ministry and teaching in the church, that type of teacher's conference. And his name is Valder. He's from Boston. We have some people from Boston here. Yeah. My next comment was, Valder's a great guy, even though he's a Red Sox fan and a Patriots fan and a Celtics fan. I like him anyway, okay? But Valder is a great guy. And Valder is the... As we got together and we began talking, we were just talking about our lives and how things are going, and I noticed that he didn't come to the morning session that day. And I said, Valder, what happened? Where were you? And he said, you know, Steve, I've made a point that I'm going to spend a certain amount of time with God every day, and I'm not going to allow other things that are less important than that to distract me from doing that. And I thought, well, dog, I wish I'd known that. I would have missed morning session too. You know, that sounds like a pretty awesome idea. And he says, it doesn't have to be a long time because it can't be a long time. All of us are busy people, you know, but I need to connect. I'm just going to sit there until I connect with God. And I thought, ah, that's great. That's a fantastic way to begin the day. And so I just came back, and actually the very next morning, I woke up and I said, you know what? I'm going to be here with you, God, until I connect with you. And, you know, that's a tough decision to make because there's all kinds of distractions. And when you make a decision like that, I'm going to be with you, God, I'm going to spend a little extra time, then, you know, things that you did that really they just come out of the woodwork, you know, different things. Like an alarm comes off on my phone that I've got a doctor's appointment at that time, you know, and I'd forgotten about it. And I'm like, oh, no. I got to cut this short, but then I try to make it up later. But that's the idea, is setting your mind every day. And that's what Valdir tries to do. And I appreciated him saying that to me because it helped me to set my mind that day. And I'm trying to do it every day now, that I'm just going to spend a little more time with God. And here's the thing. Intentionality is a very strong thing in our lives. And focus is a very important idea. And when you start getting focused about something and start getting intentional about something, all of a sudden you realize that you're thinking more about it during the day simply because you've made a decision to be more intentional. And when I made this decision to be more intentional about my relationship with God, about my time in the Word, and my time in prayer, and my time in journaling, it helped me to feel closer to God throughout the rest of the day. Because I made the decision to be focused and intentional. And I want to encourage all of us that's how we start. We start with one day. We start with one morning. Yeah, every morning you have the opportunity to wake up, in a sense, to be resurrected every morning. To live for God. Are you making the most of that opportunity? I encourage us, as we think about today, each day, the new day, to set our minds and be intentional and focused on just being close to God that day. And then one day we'll turn to two to three to a week to a month, and you'll find yourself growing spiritually because of that. The resurrection does something for our present. But then the third point is, the resurrection does something for our future. So our past, our present, and our future is all made different because of the resurrection. Our hope is secure in Christ. In verses 18 and 19, then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. But if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. If all we have is this life, Paul says, we're to be pitied above everybody. But again, that's a conditional thing. And what he's really saying is that we have a great hope in Christ. We shouldn't deserve pity. Instead, people should look at us and realize, wow, they're living a great life because of the security they have in their future in Christ Jesus. What about you? Do you recognize that your future is secure in Christ? I think the future that we have in front of us in the rest of our lives, but especially our eternal future, it's all secure because of the resurrection. And the future is an important thing. You know, sometimes when you think too far in the future, you can get nervous about things. And I understand that. You know, I try to look at, Lee and I look at our life, we try to figure out what's the next part of our lives. And, you know, that's a big decision. It's a big matter in life, trying to figure out what's next in our lives. The future has that type of trepidation, if we allow it to. I know that we have a number of kids that are graduating college in just a few weeks from now. We have like five in our ministry here in the Hudson Valley. I think there's one or two cadets here, I understand, that are about to graduate. There's some from Boston that are here today that are about to graduate, you know. And it was a long, 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 long time ago. But I can still remember barely, but I can still remember graduating from college. And I know just in graduating from college, it was like, wow, there's this whole new vista ahead of me. What is going to happen? What is next in life? And when you face that, and you face it alone, that's a really scary thing. But we don't have to face it alone. We could face it with Jesus and with the power of the resurrection. And that's what I want to encourage us to do, is to, as we think about the future, realize that we are not alone, but we have Jesus with us, and the power of the resurrection with us. And therefore, there's a confidence that comes from walking in and with Jesus. And beyond all that, there's heaven. That after this life is over, we know our eternal security is firm because of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus promises that we live forever with him in joy in heaven. That when we die, we just fall asleep, and then we wake up to be with God. And that's the power of the resurrection. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, we would not have that security. But because he did, we have security in Christ. We sang earlier the old hymn, "Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior. Waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose." Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have hope of eternity. And it's a secure hope that we have in Christ. You see, the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. It changes our past, it changes our present, and it changes our future. But here's the thing. Although it's great for all of us to be here today, and I appreciate you coming out, and you know, we're really, really glad that you're here, and we hope that you will come back. We need to think about the resurrection, not just on Easter Sunday, and not just next Sunday, but every day of the week. As disciples that are following Jesus, Easter should, or resurrection should be a part of our lives, not just on Easter, but every single day of our lives. Because our past, our present, and our future are all changed because of the resurrection. Let me close with these words. Hallelujah, Christ arose. When Jesus rose, everything changed. The resurrection, the great game changer. The past sins, forgiven. Present faith, strengthened. Future hope, secured. The women noticed it first. They ran to tell the brothers, who didn't believe. But Peter thought, what if? What if? So he went to investigate. Turns out the women were right, as they so often are. The tomb was empty, the heavy stone removed. But who moved the stone? That moment changed Peter. Later, it changed Paul. Later, it changed you and me. That moment, that resurrection moment changed everything. The resurrection, the great game changer. Past, present, future. All changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed because up from the grave he arose. We rise triumphant because up from the grave he arose. Over the past, through the present, into the future, because up from the grave he arose. One early Sunday morning outside the Damascus Gate in Jerusalem, the city of peace, Jesus rose and he changed everything, past, present, and future. The resurrection, the great game changer. Hallelujah, Jesus rose. Amen.